good to have you back, April. It's nice to get some of your input and flavor back, man, into this.
Thanks.
I felt a bit lonely, but I was also starting to feel comfortable. So I don't know where that leaves us. Anyway, let's get
into
it.
Thanks for having me back then.
I think.
I guess.
I have come to the point where I wonder, is it my podcast now or is it?
Yeah, sure. It can be whatever you want.
Nah, I feel bad.
Why?
It's our podcast.
It was your idea.
Yeah, I know, but it's got, I put you in the name.
Yeah, that's true.
Though, we really should have kept it unspecific.
Yeah, we should
name like Works in Progress.
Anyways.
Or you Bad live Decisions. And you learn. Both great podcast names.
Works in Progress was a really good one.
Works in Progress. Did you hear that one at the end of the last one?
I did. Oh, I don't think I did. No, I don't think, right. But
we got it at the end of episode two or three.
Episode three.
I just got the A to Z podcast right now.
Oh.
I didn't get it. I just thought it was just like A to Z.
There you go.
And I just got it right then.
And you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a bit slow, guys.
Welcome to the A to Z podcast, everyone. My name is Zeke. Got April with me.
Hello.
If you're still new to this, welcome. Otherwise, you know how it goes. We're following the sermon series and speaking about, you know, side topics about work, because work's a big sphere of thoughts.
Life.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
I never knew how to say that word.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Oh, yeah. I was telling Zeke, you know how you said timber?
Yeah.
During your sermon. And I was like, it's timber.
T-I-M-B-R-E.
And then I was having a discussion with my brother, Pat. And he was like, no, it's timber. He's correct. And so I had to do a quick Google.
You didn't believe me.
No, I didn't. Because you've gotten things wrong before. Context to this is that Zeke and I have this like inside thing going. It's been going for a few years, I think. Where if
just
we
a
see-
few, at least 10. It's been at least 10 years.
Really? Has it been 10 years?
Hey, man, it was before passing on. Wow. It was ages ago.
Anyways, every time we see a grammatical or spelling error in a sermon, we'll like message each other on the
Undue pressure on whoever knows.
No, it's fine. I call it occupational hazard. Like, I just can't help it.
Yes, that's true.
Like, I just see, if I see a mistake, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I do that for work. Anyway, so I thought you'd made a mistake, but I'd made the mistake. So
feels good.
Spelt timber, pronounced tamber.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's right. And now I'm under the microscope very often when I'm on stage. I might say things wrong. And for anyone who didn't notice, there was this one week where I think I was leading in prayer and I said, let's close your heads and bow your eyes. And not many people noticed that, but some did. Some did. Anyway, this week we are talking about work-life balance, which will be a very interesting topic. So very excited to have you back.
Thanks.
To discuss this with me. And also our other guests and friend, Alvin Lai. Welcome.
Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes. Yeah. Happy to be here.
It's okay, man. I was just saying that it's been 5 weeks for me now. So I've gotten quite comfortable in front of the mic and just this whole setup and everything. Alvin has been listening along. He gets all the jokes and he came in and said, what did you say? You said it was...
So what did I say?
Yeah.
I said that I was just intrigued by the whole behind the scenes. I was just like, wow, there's quite a lot that goes on. And, and I was just like, where's producer Eric? I was like... Where's producer Eric?
Eric?
I want to see him.
I will give producer Eric some credit. He's editing with his headphones on, so I don't know if he can hear.
Oh, good man.
He has actually done more this week
He's heard the call.
In the last 5 weeks combined. I took a photo of him to.
Well done. Nah, he's here.
Is he?
Come say hi, producer Eric.
It's producer Eric. He's shy in the flesh.
Shy.
Well, this guy gave me so much pressure to get onto the show.
I know.
And he's shy.
You
that's
might
fine.
Hear him in a future ep.
Oh, well. Anyway, Alvin, welcome again. It's really cool to have you. And yeah, I was just giving Alvin the prep talk about things to say, can't say, how mics work and this and that. And I mean, even within 5 weeks, we've come a long way.
We've come a long way. That first week was rough.
Yeah, we've got equipment upgrades. I've learned how to edit the podcast and do little things.
I know, on GarageBand. But you know what? We all start somewhere.
Amen. I learned how to fade audio in and out and cut audio. Didn't know how to do that before.
There you go.
But we're learning. By end of week 10, I don't even know what the sky
fledged is. Fledged podcast editor.
That sounds a lot worse than it could be.
I was trying to make it sound nice.
That's all right. No worries. Anyway, I keep getting sidetracked. I'm just too excited to have two people with me today.
Woo!
Alvin, tell me about yourself, mate. Who are you? What do you do? Where have you been?
To listeners, I'm Elvin. If you don't know, I am Singaporean and Korean. A little.
Are you?
Korean splashed in there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
Yeah, so I was raised in Singapore until primary school. My primary years were in Singapore. And my dad's Singaporean. My mom's Korean.
Mm.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
This guy's got the voice of an angel. If you ever go karaoke with him, he's got them Korean lungs.
No pressure.
No. They say that, but Zeke brings the energy at karaoke. I'm just
there's
there.
Energy and there's talent.
I think Zeke actually sings
okay.
It sings well. Does. Thank you. He actually does. I enjoy my karaoke sessions with Zeke.
What's your go-to song at karaoke, mate?
When I'm with Zeke and the boys, I do enjoy singing Radioactive with them.
By Imagine Dragons.
Yes, by Imagine Dragons. That is
very
solid. High notes. Some high notes.
There's a lot of
it's very fun.
Yeah, it is very fun.
We should go karaoke together. Sorry, another sidetrack.
Yeah, I'll almost never turn down a karaoke opportunity. My favorite song, which I only discovered recently, is Let It Go.
That is
by Idina Menzel.
Banger.
Yes.
It is a banger. It's got all the highs and lows that you need.
You don't like it, and then it comes on and automatically, like, you start singing.
It's got good crescendos, good lyrics to hit different, you know, sharp notes. It's such a fun song.
It's so good.
And Zeke has that performance. When he sings that song, that is his song.
I know. I've seen that clip so many times. I know when to release my hair.
Oh my gosh.
When, you know.
How?
He has the actions.
He's
got the actions down pat.
When Elsa takes out her hair tie and then, you know, flicks her hair around? Yeah. I know when to do that. It's
I strongly believe that karaoke is not about talent. It's about how much you get into it.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's honestly almost worse if you're like a really good singer. Because then everyone else is like, oh. Like, I'm just here to have fun.
Yes,
I mean, it's different types. It's different types.
Yeah. You work to your good song.
You
don't want to start off with the banger.
You don't want
to scare everyone in the room. That's
no. I reckon you just do 1 hour of bangers. That's how I
agree. I agree. I thought Frozen would be my ending song, but then at that point my voice is usually gone.
Yeah,
I changed it up to my second song, and man, I killed it that day.
Wow, you guys have song orders.
Yeah, I've made a custom playlist now for myself.
So I think
when I can go select all the songs immediately in the right order it needs to be. And it ended up being a warm-up song. Like, my voice felt really good after that. It was surprising. Enough about karaoke. Clearly it's a passion point. Clearly it's a passion point.
Yes.
So you're a Singaporean, you're Korean, you're there in primary school and then came over to Australia.
Yes.
What do you do now, man?
Now I'm in pharmacy. But I also work in the IT field of pharmacy. So I was initially a pharmacist. I ran away like a lot of us do at CP Church. I think a lot of pharmacists just seem
run away from pharmacy.
And I now work for a dispensing software company.
Right. So you're still in the field of pharmacy, but just in a different area.
Yes. Yeah. So I essentially just work mainly with databases and the software pharmacies use to dispense their drugs.
And what made you want to switch out?
So initially in community pharmacy, it's, you know, like most sort of health sort of roles, you kind of burn out. It seems like you're in it. I was in community pharmacy for pretty much 10 years.
So for those who don't know what community pharmacy, it's just your run-of-the-mill. If you were to see a pharmacy, that's what you'd expect, like a Chemist Warehouse or a Terry White.
Yes.
So those guys running around in there. That's what you were doing for 10 years.
Yeah, I was in Chemist Warehouse for 10 years. Yes. I was with them in my early uni days until I was out, and I was helping them manage stores. I was doing it all, and I needed a break.
Yeah.
And I ran away.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, those 10 years, I knew you probably in the last 2 or 3, maybe even 4.
Mm.
And at that point, you know, you went from being a retail pharmacist, as in someone on the floor dispensing drugs or medicines, and then you went into management.
Yes.
And I'd say that's probably the point where you started flaming out.
Yeah. I agree.
Management.
Management. I mean, I think it suits some people, But then I think, and myself included, like some people just want to be more hands-on and more like less, because management's a lot of managing people, a lot of admin.
Sure.
And yes, that suits some people. It doesn't suit other people. But I agree. I feel like around that point is where you sort of start to fizzle out.
The
but
people what, work is always
is that
the
what happened?
Stuff.
Yes. Alan? So it's like, I think initially, I think mainly it was more so the people work you have to do. So you essentially have to make sure everyone's doing their work. You're doing all these reviews. You're trying to meet your KPIs. You're trying to make sure the people you work with meet their KPIs. And yeah, sometimes just having also those, you have a lot of hard conversations sometimes with your staff, and those conversations they can take a toll. Yeah, they can take a toll.
Yeah, because you were really struggling to have those really hard conversations. I remember you coming home and saying, "Am I being pedantic, or am I, you know, telling this person off too many times? I don't want to be the bad guy, but I sort of have to be." Yeah, and you just had to do that a lot.
Yes.
And that does wear you out.
Yeah, yeah. You just get put into a position where you are essentially just monitoring your staff, monitoring this whole group. And that, that just took a toll on me. And I just needed something else to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. A change.
A change. Yeah. Yes, yes, a change.
And when you made that change, where'd you go after that?
So initially, I just went back to study. I went to do an IT degree, which just led to a coding bootcamp.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed the coding bootcamp a lot. It's like 8 to 5. You're just learning how to code, doing projects, and you're kind of just in school again.
How long did that go for?
It was considered like an intensive course, so that was 6 months.
Whoa. Yeah, so like 6 months of 8 to 5, like coding.
Yes. So it's mainly just Monday to Thursdays, 8 to 5, just straight coding. And then you kind of have Fridays off. It's meant for like your assignments and stuff. But that was the pathway.
Yeah.
Man was committed. And Saturdays, he was still working at the pharmacy to keep his his hours up so he could keep that registration.
Yeah, fair.
Yes, yes. I still needed some cash to
stay afloat. Knew that you wanted to stay in the field of pharmacy, or was it mainly for like the cash flow to like keep yourself afloat?
It was mainly just for the cash flow. Okay. I was looking for an out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I was,
hence this intensive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I was just looking at, okay, what's something I can do where I don't have to maybe be in a pharmacy anymore.
Yeah. Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then eventually, you know, you worked that IT job for a bit. And the funny story was that I moved jobs as well. And I moved to a building right opposite where Alvin was working.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
I had to settle into my job. 3 months later, I said, "Hey, Alvin, let's have lunch." He goes,
I'm just like,
I'm gone, man. I quit.
Yeah, man.
I was like, what? Out of there. Where'd you go, man?
Oh, man.
Where'd you go? Yeah, what happened next, Alvin? You tell
too
us.
Too slow. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, so I... with the help, I guess, shout out to Wayne. Wayne, he essentially got me an interview at a consulting firm. And I was there for maybe about 6 months. Yeah. And even then, at the 6 months, it was just, I think you do sort of, you have to do a lot of things on your own.
Sure.
You got to figure stuff out on your own.
Yeah.
In a consulting firm. And I think at some stage, I was like, okay, this is too much for me.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, and maybe I just need to take a step back and maybe find something else. Because, the work, I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what was your feelings like at that point? Was it impatience? Because you'd made this step out of what you'd done for 10 years. What were the feelings? Were you frustrated? Like, oh, how could this not work out? What am I going? Or was out just out is good?
So, yeah, a lot of emotions. Of course, yeah, frustration. You're like, oh, was this the right choice? Is this the right career path that I've taken? But things aren't clicking, you know? You're like, oh, have I chose wrong? Is this actually not for me? So lots of those negative emotions, and you just sit there thinking like, oh, do I just go back to pharmacy?
Safe option, because you've done that for so long. You know it so well.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I had that safety net. So I guess having that safety net still in a way was like, oh, yeah, things won't be so bad if I just go back to pharmacy.
Right. So you could make moves outside, and because you're keeping your hours up, you still had that, like you said, safety net.
Mm.
And I guess when you did eventually come out of that coding job, you found another developer job in pharmacy space, which is what you're after anyway. So it mixed sort of the two worlds together. And now you're a lot happier there. It all works out for you.
So I actually was in community pharmacy after that consulting firm for quite a bit, maybe about 2 months. I was like, oh, okay, maybe this is it. I'm actually back in community pharmacy.
Oh, right. Yes, you did go back. That's right.
So there was that period of time. I was like, okay, maybe I do just, maybe I'll just end up in here, man, and see if something else pops up. And just by chance, there was an ad with this like dispensing software company interviewed. Even in that interview, I was just like, I don't think I did that well. I was like, okay, yeah, who knows? And then I did pray a lot about it. It was something I like gave to God. I was like, it's just one of those like, oh, please, may this be where I should be. Or may this work out. And now I've been there for a year. It's been a year and things are looking good. I'm still learning. I can actually work on databases, which is, if you asked me like a year ago, I'd be like, nah, I have no idea. Like I'll be like, I didn't think I'll be where I am now. Yeah. So truly glad, I think a blessing. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for it.
Do you feel any time lost or time wasted in your 10 years in retail pharmacy? Because that was the mountain that you were climbing pretty hard.
So when I was in Chemist Warehouse, the goal is to be an owner.
Wow. Like, yes. Okay,
so
yes.
It's just like,
you're, so it was like climbing the ranks.
It is just climbing the ranks as fast as you could in my mindset. And I think when you're in it, you don't think about, yeah, okay, that's the goal. What do I need to do? And you just keep that ball moving. I think at one stage, like I was so overworked that I was just getting sick all the time. Like there was a point, where I caught shingles.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, if shingles
from being
is
stressed.
From being, yeah, like stressed or just being run down.
Yeah.
And usually you don't see shingles till your later stages of life. And I think at that stage, I was like, what, 20, 28? And I got hit with shingles. I'm like, what is going on?
Wow.
And it was just like a half of my body is just in pain.
Yeah.
Super sensitive. And then I'm just like, what am I doing? What's going on? Why is this happening?
So that was like a wake-up call, sort of.
I think that sort of sparked.
Wow.
Like thoughts at the back of my head is this like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Because I think at that stage, it was just like work.
Yeah. Just keep going, grind.
Just grind. And you have that mindset to just reach your goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I think I can do this. I have the opportunity to do this. I should just go for it. Yeah.
And do you think since transitioning out to a new job, has those goals changed or your attitude towards those goals changed?
So attitudes towards just, I guess, climbing the ranks, they've pretty much changed in a way, because I'm pretty much just starting out this role at the moment, just learning as much as I can. There's no need for me to be a manager, or there's no need for me to be the next boss or something. At the moment, it's just I'm kind of happy at where I am and just doing, just learning and just doing the work. So yeah, I'm not as driven, but I'm content. Yeah.
And do you find it still like as satisfying as when you were trying to climb the ranks? Like, are you as satisfied as you were back then?
I think I'm actually more content now.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think at the moment there's this balance. There's this sort of work-life balance that I have. And yeah, before, I think in community, all you think of is just getting the work done. I was also working like up at North Lakes, and I was living down south. So I was driving an hour, going to work. I'm there till pretty much like 8 p.m., 9 p.m.
Gross.
And I'm driving an hour back. That's like, you have no time.
And then you repeat.
Yeah, you repeat. Day. Right. Yeah. That's the next day. That's you're just hamster running the wheel. that's it. That was like, and I think at that mindset sort of driven into you quite early in your pharmacy career, you're just like, oh, you just need to pump the numbers out, get stuff done. And it's, I think it's also like the culture. Oh, it's,
I was gonna say, I think especially when other people around you are doing the same thing, there's definitely the mindset of like, well, I should be doing the same, if not better. And then, yeah, like if everyone's doing the same, like no one's really complaining. Like, I guess this is just life now. Like, this is work life. And this is just what I need to be doing for the next 40 years or whatever. Yeah. It's hard when you're like surrounded by that mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably changing career paths is one of the most liberating things as well, because this is for me personally. When I came straight out of uni into a law job, I'd compare myself to everyone else who was in exactly that same year level where they've got to. So say by the fifth or sixth year, hey, this person's in ownership already. Or I'm not in ownership yet.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like, have I not worked hard enough?
Yeah. But yeah. Now I've taken a solid 2 years off. Even if I did go back, I just can't compare myself anymore. I can't. Because I've taken the time off. And that's liberating in its own way. Because it means, yeah, now I'm going to see young up-and-comers who are doing way better than me trying really hard in those aspects. And I'll be like, well, good for you. But that's never going to be me because I'm not there anymore. And I imagine that's, you know, a very similar sentiment for yourself. That you're in those early stages of doing something new. And it's still exciting because you love learning.
Mm.
So, yeah, no, it's a really exciting time for you.
It is. It is. Yeah. So I guess also still like learning a lot at this role. So that fulfills.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, you're mentioning the work-life balance, which is the topic that we sort of looked at church last week.
Mm.
And how did you find your work-life balance before versus now? Any different? You're still pushing hard, working. Well, you got rid of a 2-hour commute at least, but yeah. how's the rest of it look like for you?
So work-life balance is definitely a lot better at the moment. I'm just essentially at work just 9 to 5. I come home, I have time to look after myself, time to do things I want to do.
Like guesting on this podcast?
like guesting on this podcast, wow. Yeah. If I was still at community pharmacy, I would still be working.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even be here.
And do you feel like your expectations beforehand have now changed? I'm sure the expectations are still similar, whether they're from family or from people around you. What do you think has actually changed quite a bit since moving into this job?
I think the expectations that people, maybe my family have for me, has kind of changed because I'm in such a niche role. Mm. They don't know what I do.
They don't know how to quantify it.
They don't know how to quantify it.
But there's also freedom in that, yes. Right? So there's no like comparison game that they're playing in their head.
Yeah,
They're just like, I don't even know what his job is.
Yes, so my family's just like, as long as we pay the bills, it's okay for them. So as long as, you know, you bring you're able to pay the bills, they actually don't know how to quantify it. They're like just like, oh, so what do you do? And then you tell them and they're like, yeah, I don't know what you do.
Yes, I get it. They're just like, oh, okay. They'll ask you again in like 1 month.
Yes, yeah, they'll ask you again. And we'll just have the same conversation.
Yeah. So mainly the balance shift is really just the hours and time, energy spent at the job. So now you've got more time to do other things.
Yes.
And what might some of those other things be for you?
And well, being at church for once. So I think when I was just working, like just overworked, I just didn't want to go out. Mm. You know, like on like maybe I have like that one Sunday off, right? And it's like, do I go to church?
Or do I like rest?
Or do I just, yeah, do I rest at home? This is just, do I even have the energy? Because it does, I think when I actually have to interact with people, it takes a toll.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone who's worked retail, hospitality, any people facing jobs, The last thing you want to do after work is to face more people.
Yes.
Even
yes.
your own friends.
Yeah.
I remember coming home from my sales jobs and at night, I just did not want to speak to anybody.
Yeah. You just want to be by yourself.
Yeah.
But I think that's also like an extrovert introvert thing. Mm. I can imagine some extroverts would be like, all right, I'm ready to like keep going. Yeah. I guess we're all introverts.
Yeah. Yeah. I need some alone time. Well, I think people actually think like I'm quite extroverted, but I
get the same thing. They're like, you're introverted. I'm like, hell yes, yeah. I am. I get so tired.
Yeah. I guess you guys recharge at home.
Do you reckon you're introverted or do you reckon you're extroverted?
No, I'm definitely extroverted. Oh. But I'm not full energy. Okay. I don't bring the party.
But you can keep going if you want to.
No, I think it's more when I have been alone for a while. I really, really want people contact and it actually energizes me to be around people.
Okay.
Like there was this one story I had where I was in Hong Kong by myself for, I don't know how long it was, but I remember being in the hotel room and just feeling sort of very quiet, very lonely, and I had to get out. So I got out and stood in the middle of the shopping center and just like the buzz of the place, the atmosphere, that energized me. And I didn't speak to anyone, but that was a moment for me where I said, no, I'm definitely extroverted.
Interesting. Because I would say the same about me. Well, especially if it's, say I've been alone and had no interaction for a few days. I don't know how long it was for you. Sometimes if it's been that long, I'm like, okay, I need some like interaction. Mm. Maybe I'm an ambivert. Anyways, again, sorry, sidetrack.
No, that's okay. That's
I guess I sidetrack when I'm here.
You're the sidetracker.
That's what I do.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. We're speaking about work-life priorities and how that shifts. No, work-life balance and how that shifts with our priorities as they come and go. The thing about work, interesting, is that I don't think many of us think about it that much, except that it's something that we fall into and just do. And then it just takes a lot of our time and we try to fit everything else that we really want to do around it. Mm. Right? Like how many of us can actually say we went into our jobs whenever it was with the full intention of that's what we really want to do. We actually really like this job, this and that.
It's so hard because like, especially like it starts in grade 12 where you choose your uni courses.
How ridiculous is that?
I know. And you're like thinking back, like we were pretty young in grade 12 and then you do your course and then you're like, okay, well I've graduated. I guess I start work. Like, I guess that's just the natural next step. And then you start and you're like, well, this sucks, but I guess this is just what everyone has been doing. Mm. Like all the adults older than me. So, I mean, obviously that's very generalized. Like some people change courses, some people don't do that, but I feel like as a society, that's like what most of us do. I think we just do it because everyone else does it and we don't really know what else to do with our life, especially when we're that young. Yeah.
Like in year 12, right? We put down 6 choices and
I didn't even have 6 solid choices.
Yes, you don't know. You're like, I still like, have a 5 and 6.
I don't hate this one, so.
Maybe a lot of my friends are doing commerce. I'll put commerce down.
Yeah, sure.
And you're like, okay.
I genuinely want to know how many lawyers put law down because they actually wanted to do law or because they watched Suits and they were like, this looks fun. I'm going to do this.
I don't think Suits was out when I joined law school.
I don't know.
It was because it was out for my year.
You just want to be 100%. The next Harvey Specter.
Yeah. That was not me. Though I will say I am sometimes influenced by shows I have been watching, which is true.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a doctor for a short while after watching various doctor shows. But
okay.
What was your go-to doctor show?
Yeah.
Hospital Playlist, man.
Really?
That's drama. That was a good one. Because it makes you
have
see...
Have you watched both seasons?
Yeah. Wow. Season 2 is way better.
I need to watch it.
But that one really shows you, well, at least in my mind, a bit more of the highs and lows.
Gotcha. It's more realistic?
Of their doctoring.
Yes.
I don't think it's ultra realistic, but...
It's a K-drama. It can't
be. That's right. They all...
Well, they say Scrubs is really realistic. But again, that's a comedic sort of show, right?
Mm.
In terms of the daily workings of the hospital, yes, it's realistic. But I felt in Hospital Playlist, the way they portrayed the doctors feeling really bad for the patients or they still wanted to achieve things. I remember one of the episodes was about all the doctors in their various stages, juniors, you know, consultants. They were all trying really hard and making efforts, but they were all failing at their efforts. And that, man, when they played that last song, that got me... I was like bawling because I just really related to the like insecurities of trying really hard.
Yes.
Yes.
So even though I wasn't a doctor, trying really hard and still failing. I really felt that. I was like, oh man, this connects.
Yep.
So anyway, Hospital Playlist was my doctor show.
Hospital Playlist did do that to me too. It brought out a lot of tears, a lot of emotions. You're just like, feels. Doctors fail too.
Yeah. They're human.
Yeah.
And then at the end of like every episode, they come together as a band and they start jamming.
I want a band.
Damn, that's cool.
We can
cool.
just go karaoke and that'll be our band.
That's right. Oh, true. That's right. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But I think, it's tough to think and let what your decisions at 16, 17, 18 define the rest of your life. And I think if you're a young person listening to this, you should feel comfortable to try something new. I think we have the freedom to do that in Australia, which is nice. And I know it's not the same for everyone, but where you can try and not be so afraid to jump out and do something you actually want to do, if you can afford to, I think it's worth doing. Because there's this element of, how much can we actually control? And I'm not trying to push, what I said in the sermon, because this point actually came from you, Al. We had a chat about this on Saturday before the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, how much can we actually control in our lives despite how hard we try?
Mm.
So I think once we can learn to let go of things a little bit and realize it's not that easy to hold on to things and make things happen, then it feels more liberating. Okay. Yeah, liberating. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. That, we'll still try. But if it doesn't work out, that's okay as well. I think we just see things differently. It's really hard to describe for me. Do you have any thoughts on that, Al?
I think the whole... I'm trying to remember our conversation.
Comparison was the key word.
And it was like mainly we were talking about comparison. And we're trying to go at it at like different angles. You're like, how can we just stop comparing? How can we just stop thinking about the elephant in the room?
Because the thing was, I was asking you, I said, hey, my sermon's on work-life balance.
Yes.
How do we manage that balance? And my answer was something like, we've just got to think about the right priorities in life.
Yeah.
And then when we make a decision in one, we consider all the areas.
Yes.
And I said, is that a convincing message? And he said, no, it's not a convincing message. I said, why not? You go, because I still want what my colleague has, what that guy has. And I said, okay, well, why should you not want what your colleague has or want?
Mm.
And we kept trying to play with that.
Yep.
That's right.
Figure it out. And I kept giving him answers. And I said, is that satisfying? He's like, no. I still want that. The elephant's in the room. You're telling me to not care, but I still care. So at what point should I not care?
Yes. And then so I was just like, how do I just not care? I'll just be comparing myself with like my peers. Mm. And then Zeke goes, I forgot to say, the verse is we're talking about is Matthew chapter 6. And it was, and then he just goes in and he just says, Christ tells us not to worry for, I'm just paraphrasing because Christ will provide. And then I'm just like, oh, true. I think sometimes you just need those like simple reminders just have that conversation with your...
I call them Sunday school truths.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes. Like super basic, but like... So maybe more fundamental is the better word. Like just fundamental truths.
Yeah. Because Christ has given
us... Embellish it.
Yeah, I think the thing was that Christ has given us everything we need, but what we often think we need is actually what we want, not what we actually need.
Yes.
So if we think about, I'm not getting what I need, you go, is it really what you need?
Mm.
And if it's not, then it's just...
Like, do you actually need this in your life?
Yeah.
Or have you made it out to be something you need, making an idol?
Yeah, right, yeah. So no matter what happens to that goal, whatever, you check back, is that actually what I need?
Yes.
And you go, well, if it's not, then hey, no worries. I think it's something like that.
Yes. It was something like, and then it was like, because it was a good like 30 minutes we're having that conversation.
Damn.
And then at the end of it, he goes, yeah, so I'm actually talking, I forgot to tell you, it was this verse. And then we're just like, aha.
Oh, no wonder that's what you're supposed to lead with.
Okay, I'm out of here.
You're like, well.
That's how it goes sometimes. Just forget everything. But keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Yes.
God, Jesus, Bible.
Yes. Go with the gospel.
So Al, recently you've made more of a decision to invest in church and the people at church. I remember, yeah, I know you many years. You grew up as a Christian, or at least, you know, church going. But at some point, something changed. Something was a little bit different in these last, you know, 2 or 3 years that you're taking Christ more seriously now. What might you say that be?
I think it's a little, I guess, sort of cliche to say. It was just the whole two ways to live kind of methodology. It was, I think before, even though I sort of grew up in like a whole Christian household and just, I get sent to Sunday school, all of that. But I just found that even though I'm just filled with Christianity, I just didn't take a liking to it.
Yeah.
I sort of just disregarded it. I'm just here because I have to be here kind of thing. I think that was a lot of my early years. Even in high school. Yeah, I went to like an Anglican high school. And then you're just like, oh, yeah, we go to chapel on Thursdays.
Yeah, it's just something you do.
Yeah, it's just something you do. And I think it didn't really sort of become like, I didn't really question if like, am I actually a Christian until, I guess, in your uni days. That's, I guess, more so when I find you do a lot of thinking on your own. And I think it was also, even in uni days, I was quite lost. Yeah, so I'll be also filled with like partying. So there's a lot of partying. It's like, what am I doing myself? And it's only because of, I guess, I had like a course mate, and she, when I first met her, she was the annoying one. You know, she's the one that just I don't know, she just bothered me all the time. She just like, she either like talked too much, or she just would ask me really annoying questions, and I'll just sort of like disregard her, and. Now to this day, she's like one of my closest friends.
There you go.
She forced her way
into your life. There you go.
But she was the one that sort of dragged me to GCS at Griffith. And
that's Griffith Christian Students.
Yeah, Griffith Christian Society.
Oh,
Christian Close Students. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh boy. Yeah. Fact check.
Yeah. And that was also where I met Tony. Tony Rowbottom.
Shout out to Tony Rowbottom. Yes.
Shout out to Tony Rowbottom. And he would actually just sit with me and just go through the Bible with me. And he was essentially the one that was like, so do you believe in this? And I was like, do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe that Christ died for your sins and like resurrected and defeated death? And it was only just through sitting down and actually reading the Bible with him. And I was like, oh yes, I actually do. Believe in that. And that was in uni. But then after uni, things got a bit turbulent again. So just again, just caught up with life and just got lost in it all. And it was only when I was in Brisbane, I think Caleb.
Shout out to Caleb.
Yeah, shout out to Caleb.
So many shout outs.
Yeah,
wow.
So Caleb was also someone I met in uni. And he seems like he just said, hey, you're in Brisbane, yeah? Just come to my church. Come to CPE.
That's it.
Yeah. And even again, a little bit rocky at the start, but it's true CPE. It's just, there's so many programs you can go to. I think I essentially went to like Life Explored. And I think this was like the second time they're running Life Explored. So it was just essentially just me and Chester. And we were just having lunch and just going through Life Explored, which was great. And he would just field my questions. But even then, I think I held back a lot on the questions. Maybe I should have just been
interesting. How come?
I'm not sure. I feel I think it's my personality. I just like won't question things if, I think I just won't question things if I'm not really comfortable with that person.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's that element of you've got to trust the other person's going to answer truthfully and not have any agenda, and then you'd feel more comfortable.
Also the fact that like they won't judge you for your question. Yes.
I think so. It just takes time to build that rapport. And only, it was like towards the end, I was asking questions.
Yeah.
Not to say that Chester wasn't allowing me to ask questions.
Yes.
So, but yeah, Chester was really good at making me feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Nice.
Sorry, was there more?
Oh, no. I think that's sort of like the journey. And then through there, it was, but still, it was only later on that I started plugging in
into CPE, and you thought to yourself, like, hey, oh, I need to get more involved. I am a Christian. What should I do to actually get plugged into church?
How did you decide on how you'd get more involved, or like what ministries or activities that you were going to be a part of more?
I think it was just start off small. I think Wayne was just like one of those ministry show days.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And Wayne was just like, hey.
You there.
You there.
Come here.
Come here. Hosting is really easy. You just stand here and say hi to people. You can just put your name down. I was like, all right, Wayne. Okay.
That's all it takes.
And Wayne's my life group leader, so
I'll just put my name down. Can't say no.
Yeah, fair. Oh, that's amazing to hear. What, that's 6 or 7 shout outs right there.
Yeah, so many in one story. People that amazing.
Have worked in your life and, you know, ultimately contributed to where you are today.
Yeah.
So it's not always a one-stop shop, immediate conversion or anything.
Mm. I like that because it's actually quite encouraging because, you know, we often talk about like being like planting the seed in someone's life, and it's hard when you don't see the fruit of what you've done.
Mm.
But it's so nice to hear like, you know, the full story and like, you know, shout outs along the way to different people who like stepped in at different times of your life when you needed them to, or like, you know, God put them there to spur you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I found like, I think God was just always working in my life.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just strange that he would just have all these people just.
Yeah. Just like conveniently.
Conveniently.
Yeah.
Just pull me towards Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's.
People kept getting involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a really cool story right there. So keep persevering, praying for your friends. You never know when things might happen or who. Maybe you're with them for a few weeks, few months, whatever. You never know what's next.
Mm.
And that's a really cool story, man. I think we've come to the point where we've got to ask a question.
Ooh, question time.
Ooh.
And I'd love for both of you to weigh in on this. So our question for this week, April's ready.
What do you mean? I'm always ready.
Can I just say, I've just chucked a Slido up onto the Facebook community page. If you do have more questions you want to put in there anonymously, put them in. I'd love to hear them. Once we see them, we might not have many podcasts left, so we can't answer them all. But I am trying to do a video.
Wow.
Ooh.
Which we're going to have some rapid fire Q&As in there. So any questions you have about work, chuck them in there. But our question for this week, how can you balance striving for excellence with avoiding perfectionism and comparison?
Oh, that's so hard though.
Wow. Interesting question. That's really
hard. I think it comes down to your personality as well, because I am someone naturally who will strive for perfection. Zeke has seen me as I've been editing this podcast. I'm like, I'm just going to add the music in. And then like an hour later, I'm still editing.
This is so much easier than I thought it would be, said she. Yeah. And I couldn't leave because she was grumpy that night. And then she wanted to edit it.
Grumpy. Sorry, you're just tired. I was
Yeah.
So I'm like, naturally, I will like strive for perfection. So I think partly it comes down to knowing when to draw the line. Like, when is it excellence? And then when is it almost an idol that you want this to be perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it will affect others, or like others will judge you for it or whatnot.
So where do you draw the line, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. And I think that's the hard bit. Like, I think that's what you have to figure out for yourself. And then I think in the context of this conversation also, like, is striving for excellence affecting other parts of your life detrimentally?
Right.
And I think for everyone, it'll be a slightly different answer. So I think, again, it's like looking inwards and being like, why am I striving for excellence? Like, what is the driver?
Sure.
Where is my heart at? Is this like a genuine drive, or is this like an idol that I've created for myself that I need this excellence? Yeah. And then just looking at that for yourself and trying to figure out what that looks like for you.
Any insights there? Have you thought about this before for yourself?
Yeah, I think again, because I'm such a perfectionist, it like, and yeah, sometimes it is detrimental to my health/energy.
Right.
I think I've realized over the years Similar to you, Alvin, like my drive to climb the ladder has just
waned.
Is the correct word. Like it's still, like I still try to do my best at work. Like I'm not, you know, slacking off or anything. But I think I've found a good, the amount that I want to try, which is like getting my job done to the best of my ability. But I sort of no longer do more than that, if that makes sense. Like I'm here to do my job. I'm here to do it well. I don't feel the need anymore to go beyond that. And that's comfortable for me. And that allows me to have a better, it just means like when I clock off, I clock off. Like I'm not going to answer any emails until the next day, because that's when I'm back at work. Yeah, when I'm off, I'm present in my home life. Yeah, so I think for me, that's sort of my line of this is where I, is where I stop trying so hard.
I think I've seen that effect just for the fact that you work at home most of the time now.
Yeah.
That I think you've put those lines in place quite clearly, because even when I message you throughout the day, you don't answer me as quickly as you used to when you're in the office. Whereas in the office, you're more okay to... So I see that you've put those lines in place, and especially the clock as well. You use that quite religiously, for lack of a better word. And yeah, no, I see that. And it's interesting because what's the motivation for you to say, you know what, I'm not going to try any harder than I have to. Was it failure, or was it failure as in like you tried for a result, didn't get it? Or was it you came to something else that goes, you know what, I'm not going to try so hard, which is... both perfectly valid. That's just some of how it works sometimes.
Yeah, I think I've just found peace in knowing that I don't need to.
Right.
Or also just even if I do try, like there's always going to be someone better than me. Where do I stop?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a lot of mental health issues as well of this. And I was like, you know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
It's that whole idea of you leave a job and no one's going to remember you in a year's time. So why am I trying so hard for this?
Not even a year, mate.
Yeah, like a few months. They'll be like, do you remember April? And they'll be like, oh, who?
Yeah.
Like a new person will be like, I've never met her. Like, who cares? But yeah, that's just my own personal view and experience. Fair. But I'm keen to hear.
Yeah, weigh in on this, Al.
What you think.
I really resonate with what you said, April, about where your heart is. It's also like in the sermon that Zeke had, he had that slide where work is a balance. And I guess if you're so just caught up with being at work and all your focus is at that work, how much of a detriment is your work in life or your work in Christ is taking? And yeah, I see that probably the same as me when I was just grinding and when I was just trying to strive to be an owner, that I would just lose sight of everything else. And I think it's just taking that time to just look into your heart and see like, hey, what am I actually doing? And just remember to take a breather I think nowadays I ask myself, is this good enough?
Wow. I just like that.
Hey,
that's nice.
Is this good enough?
If it's good enough,
we'll move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the whole, what's the phrase? It's like, done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
Producer Eric, what is the phrase, done is better than perfect?
Good enough to move on.
Good enough to move on. That's another variation.
Good enough to move on.
Eric said?
Yeah, it is done is better
than perfect. Done is better than perfect.
I think that, and like Eric told me that once. Because again, being a perfectionist, I'm always striving to like make it absolutely perfect. And you know, he was like, done is better than perfect. I'm like, you know, that's so true. Like, why am I trying to make this better? Like, it's to the point where only I would notice the little tweaks that I'm making and no one else would.
Yep.
But to the detriment of my like mental health that I'm working so hard on this. Sorry to Jim in. I also want to say, like, I actually really loved the verse that the sermon was on. It's like one of my highlighted verses. Because I have...
Which one's that?
Matthew 6, 25-34.
Oh, right. Sure.
Just the whole...
The whole worry bit. Yep.
The whole worry bit. Because I struggled with anxiety for ages.
Yep.
Had like heaps of panic attacks. And I remember when I first read this during that period of time, yeah, it was a real comfort just to know that I don't have to worry so hard about how things will work out.
Yep.
Because they will. I don't know how they'll work out, but I can trust that they will in some way, shape or form.
What a way to end, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
We had some good phrases in there.
Yeah, we did.
I like it.
Some good shout outs, some good phrases.
Can what I a just great say, ep. Producer Eric has a lot of good phrases.
He does.
One of my favorite ones is, ships aren't made to...
Oh my gosh.
What is it? Ships aren't made to sit in the harbor.
No. Ships are safest in the harbor.
Oh.
But that's not what they were made for.
What a great phrase. Woo! Anyway, guys, it was a pleasure to chat with you guys once again. Alvin, thanks for coming
thanks
on.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're a good friend.
It's been a blast.
It's been really cool to see your journey and hear about it. And to many more karaoke sessions, guys. I think
let's
we're
do it.
Due.
Woohoo!
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye. See ya.